So we thought we would do for this event a mixed grouping from the village of Merceau, because it's my personal favourite of the white wine villages. I don't mean to say it necessarily has all the grand wines, because of course Pinot Noir most people would put at the top of that tree. And I'm becoming increasingly fond of Chassagne Maraîcher because of the younger group of winemakers there. And we're going to have an evening, I think it's the 12th of April, when we look at those. But Merceau works for me so well on the village level as well as the crew level. There are no Grand Crus, of course. And I think it's because Merceau wasn't greedy that you get real value out of the Premier Crus. And equally, the village wines are, to my way of thinking, clearly a step up from most of the other white wine villages. And it's partly because, unlike Punani in particular, the water table is that much further away from the surface. So it's possible to have nice deep cellars, which are really great for aging the wine. So there's been a much longer tradition in Merceau than Punani or even Chassagne of aging the wines for a second winter in wood before you bottle them. So the format today is four whites from 2017 and 2014 together, two of each, two of villages and two of Premier Crus. Then we have four wines from 2012, three Premier Crus plus an absolutely top village site, and then four Premier Crus from 2002. So we get to see a very nice overview from good vintages of what Merceau has been up to over the last 20 years. And then, because you need a little bit of red wine before you go home in the evening, we have got three wines from the neighbouring or near neighbouring villages of Aulnay and Pommard. And Michael has convinced himself that Marcenais is also near enough to Merceau. So we're having one from the amazing Sylvain Patay. So you've got those four to finish off with. And I hope to be able to stay with you just long enough to make a couple of comments about them. I'll certainly stay with you otherwise through the first two sets of four wines and to introduce the 2002s and mention the reds. Right, so Merceau, ancient village, has got so many good growers. I reckon nowadays that I am visiting between 40 and 50 different producers a year in Merceau, and I can think of another 10 names that probably ought to be on my visiting list, but you can't do everything. And that's amazing, because at the time that I started out in 1981, Lafon was sort of known about, but wasn't really being shipped very much. Costurie was virtually unheard of. Rouleau was known about. The Jobards were known about. But I mean, really, you would have been saying maximum six names of interest. And now it's spread so much wider. So of the Grand Classics, we've got Lafon in several renditions, and we've got one from Rouleau. Apart from that, there are people whose names were not so much on the radar back then, even though they or their parents or grandparents were producing wine from quite some while earlier. So do you have anything in your glasses yet? I can't see easily. Yeah, you have two or four wines.
We have four whites, the first four.
Okay. Right. Well, if you have a little taste of the first two, so slightly unfair if you are trying to judge sort of between the two of them, insofar as you have a good sound of the road village wine in Grand Charron, and you have the grandest of the Premier Crus in Perrier, from two people who are small scale cults, but mostly underneath the real sort of investor speculator radar. So wines are not cheap, but at the same time, you can probably still find them at a price that doesn't hurt too much. So Pierre Boisson, Les Grands Charons. Grand Charron is a vineyard which can be really excellent, or it can be rather ordinary, how high up the slope you are, because it starts coming out of the sort of the west side of the village, and the lowest parts of the rows in Grand Charron almost flat. So, for example, very good producer, their sort of entry level drinking Merceau is their Grand Charron, because their holding is more on the slightly lower land. But as you go up towards the top, you get next to Tesson, which is a lot more famous, and Rougeot, which would be more famous if it had more good growers in it. And you begin to make something very special. So, for example, the Côte des Grands Charons from the Château de Meursault is really an exceptional wine. I don't know where the Boissons have their holding. This used to be known as Domaine Boisson Vadeau, and as you see on the score sheet, that wine number 3, Meursault Chevalier, is Boisson Vadeau. But the father of the current generation, Bernard Boisson, married to a Vadeau, retired, I think, after the 2016 vintage. And since then, the wines are either under his son Pierre's name or daughter Anne. They tend to look after slightly different vineyards in the grouping of everything that's done. The domain. It's not a big domain. It's eight and a half hectares in absolute total. Various Meursaults, quite a bit of Bourgogne, Ossey Duresse, a couple of red wines. 2017, as we know, is one of the good vintages for white Burgundy, and one which I think is actually becoming very decent to drink now. It's not one that you absolutely have to keep the longest time, but it should age well. But now it's 6 years, it's beginning to show its paces. It was a year which favoured the whites more than the reds, because it was a standard full crop in white, and it was a particularly big crop. But I like it very much. What it's proving to be is slightly richer and fuller bodied than we've perhaps thought, but there's good acidity as well. So the Boissons are very traditional. It's all barrel-aged for up to 18 months. This is new oak. They do nothing sort of out of the ordinary, if you like, but it's a traditional sort of winemaking. They aren't particularly people who like to talk about the techniques. When I went to see Bernard Boisson, he was fascinating about the history, about the family, about the terroirs, but he didn't really want to get into the detail of what I sometimes call the techno-babble, the discussion of techniques. But they're traditionalists, and probably only first came on the scene about 10 years ago. When people, they got picked up by UK Importer and the first mentions with wine writers, and they're extremely well thought of. Almost all their wines are at village level or generic level rather than Premier Cru. So who's going to be the spokesman for how the 2017 Grand Charron is tasting?
I'm going to get myself in slight trouble here because under two, the Perrier tastes quite evolved for me, and I was asking if it was fine because it really does. I mean, I'm not sure if it's the winemaking and that's the style of it, but if you taste the two together, I find that the Perrier is quite evolved for me. On the nose and on the palate.
As much as I hate to say, I agree with you.
We may be having a mild case of Premox.
Yeah.
Premox has not gone away completely, but it tends to be milder than it used to be. And I also think that the wines grow out of it more often than not. But it's typically around about 5 or 6 years where you're most likely to have it. I had two bottles, the original, then somebody opened a spare, of a 2016 Courton Charlotte years ago. And and that was exactly the same thing. When the first one was opened, the guy opening it checked it and said, good, that's no problem, it's fine. But even 15 minutes later, it was showing it. And Sebastian said that the bottles were fine when he opened them. So it's arrived quite quickly. But I suspect, unfortunately, that you have got a little bit of a case of the pox, the Premox, because there's no reason. The Orange German wines are sometimes a little bit fuller in colour, but you know it shouldn't be tired at this stage in its life. So that's a disappointment. It's a domain I believe in. Orange German set up in Meursault in 1973. His wife is of the Pio family in Chassagne-Morachet, so they have various Chassagnes as well as their Meursaults. Jean-François has taken over and been in charge for quite a while, and he's married to a Miss Jobard, so probably some vines from that side of the family too, and now their daughter Lucy is working with them. So It's all organic, biodynamic, but that bottle evidently has not come through as well as it should. But has the is the Boisson 2017, is that showing well?
Yeah, very well. I mean, I really liked it. I like it on the nose and I like it on the palate. It's a lovely wine. I mean, it's not overly, complex, but very, very happy to drink this. Can I ask you, Jasper, can I ask a question? What's the difference in philosophy to the winemaking of the two? If you had a differentiator between the two?
You know, I don't think there is a massive difference. They're both up to 18 months in barrel. Neither uses a lot of new wood. They both would consider themselves traditionalists. I don't know when the Boissons choose, because picking dates can make a difference. The Germains tend to be right in the middle, so there's nothing specific to say there. You know, I would not consider them dissimilar.
Certainly on the palate, we can see the difference. That's probably the pre-mox, but yeah, must be pretty
much. I think we have to label the Germain today as being a disappointing bottle. So I'm sorry about that. But
do you think that the gets better?
I don't think you should necessarily take a dim view of the domain because one bottle has failed us. And do we have an orange map? Well, we got a 2012 and a 2002, so we've got that domain in all three brands. So we'll see how the other two work later on. Now, alongside that, you have got two 2014s. So again, we have a village wine from Boisson Vado, so it's still got the parent's name, and it's Chevalier, which I really like. So if you walked up the hill from Grand Charron, got to the top of the vineyard, you would be in the left-hand part of the vineyard, you would have Tesson above you. The right-hand part of the vineyard, you would have Rougeau above you. And if you then walked a few more paces to your north, you come to Chevalier. Really nice vineyard with quite a light friable soil, which erodes quite easily on a decent slope because we're higher up here. And everybody I know who makes Chevalier, I think probably Fichet is the person I know best in this vineyard, makes a jolly good wine out of it. So 2014, as we've established in the past, really, really nice white Burgundy vintage, which for a while I've thought has been quite closed down, and if anything, seeming to get younger and younger. Now, just recently, I've begun to see a little bit of evolution. Still young wine, 8 years old, coming into 9 years. But they're just beginning to open out once again. And alongside that, we have the Lafond Meursault Boucher. So classically, Meursault just had Perrier, Charmes, Genévrier, and Goutte d'Or and the Premier Cruz. And then from 2011 vintage, he picked up Porizo, and Boucher as well. And this Boucher, prior to 2011, was the holding made by... Le Fleuve. Sorry, not Le Fleuve. What am I saying? Hold, made by Jean-Marc Roulet. Yeah.
Yeah, both Jasper, both have to step in quality. I think it's also to do with more bottle age. They've just got a bit more weight, both of them.
Yes.
And they're both showing really well. Although I have to say that I just got a slight preference for the Boisson Vado. Is that how you say it?
So, yeah, Boisson Vado. So, played 2-1-2 for Boisson Vado. That's exciting. I believe they have a good importer in Hong Kong, Ginsberg and Chan. And with luck, you may not still be able to find this, but you should be able to continue to find them at an okay price.
And I think that Boisson is really, really interesting on the nose, unlike the early ones. So it's something very aromatic. It's all crushed rocks, very precise and linear.
Right. Yeah.
My preference.
Yeah. Pierre Boisson, I understand, was at the wine school with Raphael Costurie. So whether or not they have sort of discuss techniques together, I don't know, but But I've never had a disappointing from them. Of course, they don't have the famous Premier Cruise on the hull. But everybody who's come to know them, did you know them before, or is it new to you?
New to me.
Hey, that's great. A discovery has been made.
We're all whispering here. We're going to have to find some.
I should have taken a snapshot of world prices before the session started, and another one at the end of the session, and see what's happened. It's a pretty small domain, so there's never going to be huge volumes around. But good to know.
This is the website. New cash.
And the Lafon Boucher, how's that showing?
Very nice. Very, very nice. I like it. The Lafon. Yeah. It's a Boucher. What about the Boucher?
I like that, but try the other one more.
Okay, the subtlety about the Boucher Vineyard is that it's one where you need to pick very early. It's often the first. It was for Jean-Marc, and it is now with Lafon, because it gets too soft and does get a few more exotic aromatics if you leave it. So that's definitely pays off. And I think everybody who makes it now probably understands that. Yeah. Right, so points for Boisson in both vintages, and also points for Lafon in their one wine. And again, we're going to see Lafon in all three brackets, so we'll be able to see how things have changed. I'm hoping to do with Dominique Lafon and the new generation there, Dominique having retired just over a year ago, I'm hoping to do a sort of retrospective vertical of every vintage that Dominique made at the Domain with the family in the next month or two. It should be really exciting. I shall report on that. Okay, so are you now getting the next bracket of four coming out?
Yeah, we've just gotten the Rouleau as well as the Lafon Vinery as well.
Okay, since they're all 4/12, you might as well taste them 1, 2, 3, 4. So one and two are the Rouleau Clos du Haut-Tessin Montplaisir. So it's close into the vineyards we've already been having. And it changed its name. I think 2011 was either the... It used to be called Les Tessins Clos du Montplaisir. But I pointed out to Jean-Marc that the legend that's on above the vineyard on a little stone archway says Clos du Haut-Tessin Montplaisir, so from 11 or 12 to that name. So then what do we have alongside that? We have Lafon Genévrière, his favourite, my favourite, probably of his Premier Cruise. Well, maybe he likes Perrier more, but I love the elegance of the Genévrière. Recently, I had one in London a month or so ago, both the Genévrière 11 and the Charme 11. And the Genévrière was way more exciting. The Charme was just a little bit not quite feeling its the right moment to drink it. It was just a little bit clumsy. Nothing wrong with it, but it didn't quite show. But the Genévrière 11 was an absolutely beautiful bottle, and I'm hoping the 12 will be. Very small crop because of both hail and bad flowering. Then after that, you can look at Henri Germain's Perrier alongside Vincent Dancer's Perrier. And so Vincent Dancer recently seems to have leapt up from being one of the good producers to being one of the cult producers with much higher pricing than we would ideally like. So there are the 12s to play with. You taste through them 1, 2, 3, 4. Certainly in the marketplace, the Tesson from Rouleau is going to be up there at sort of fully fledged Premier Cru pricing. I'm not sure if that or Dancer would be the most expensive wine if they came up. Probably Germain would be the least expensive of the four on the secondary market. So 2012 is now 10 to 11 years old. Should be getting him to an excellent place. It was a small crop, and I don't actually see them all that often, so it'll be very, very interesting to know how they're showing, whether they're beginning to reach full maturity or whether they still seem quite young and crisp and energetic. It showed very well when we did the 10-year-old tasting here in Bouillon in June of last year, and the 12s were looking in a very good place. The Premier Cru's and upwards, still young. The Village Wine's pretty much fully ready. So I am going to place a bet as to, I put them in the order I think I would probably enjoy them, and I put them in the order I think they're probably going to show for the team today. So when you're ready, Michael or somebody would like to speak at least about the rouleau, and then move on from there.
Jasper, I have a quick question before you move on to the second flight. Can you just talk a tiny bit about the difference between 14 and 17? Because it's clear, the vintage-wise, because there's definitely a clear difference between the two, and there's 3 years, obviously, of bottle age, but in reality, that's not a humongous amount.
No, I don't know how they're showing today, but 14 was a very fresh, tight, tense vintage. I mean, the grapes were only just ripe. Some of the reds weren't fully ripe. The whites did ripen, but they kept quite high acidity. And they remained, for me, they have remained quite fresh and quite backward. Now, was your comment because you think they have evolved by more than 3 years between the two? Yeah, okay. Well, that's a surprise.
Yes.
Yeah. I did start... with very the question that I thought they were now beginning to come around. Don't know how long they were, whether they've been kicking around in the marketplace or whether whether they've been sort of in your cellars since almost the start. But I would have expected the 14s to be showing, if anything, the younger of the pairings, even though they're 3 years older. So interesting that that's not the case. Okay, are you ready for a first comment on the second fly?
Yeah. So sadly, the Fond Genevrier is a bit corked.
I know.
But the rouleau is showing wonderfully. The Henri Germain 12 is so meaningfully fresher than the 17th Henri Germain.
Oh, that's encouraging.
And the Vincent Dancer 12 is as it should be.
Right. So you're what I'm reading out of that, whether that's correct or not, is Rouleau first, Germain second, Dancer third. You, Michael?
No, not yet.
We're still tasting.
We're not at that point.
Oh, it's still tasting, so you haven't got that far. All right. Yeah. I beg your pardon.
We've just been forward some of them.
Voting has not closed.
Right. The ballot is still...
I find one thing
I would say is, of course, 2012 is the last vintage from Lafont when he put the wines under cork. After that, he's moved to Diam from 2013. Reason for doing it was more to do with oxidation, but just general unreliability of corks. Well, we'll have to find an excuse to open a bottle of Genevrier 12 when I'm over next month, because that's disappointing. But you know, cork bottles happen. We're aware of that.
They do.
One in ten.
I think for me it's the Dancer first. Actually, maybe a slightly prefer the Henri Germain. And then the rouleau, but the rouleau is very sharp, very focused. Maybe needs even more time.
I quite like the
rouleau. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Focused and fresh and sharp are very much the rouleau style. It's what he wants to make. I hear that Tina Turner voted for Dancer first. Such a fine dancer, no?
Oh. Jasper.
Joseph,
no comment on that. No, I'm just going to. I'm still trying to get over the joke. I have to say that my favorite is the Dancer as well. Not the Tina Turner version, but the Vincent version.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. And I have a slight preference to Rouleau over the Henri Germain. Yeah. They're both really nice. It would be interesting to see what the Lafon was like in that company. But it's an interesting, you know, the 12s, I think they're in a good space place to eat. Drink, sorry.
Eat the cork and drink the wine. I would expect so. And, you know, it is a vintage which I like more than... It's one of those which, because it wasn't the grand vintage, it's not a bad vintage, but it just gets forgotten about. It just doesn't really get, you know, it doesn't come up in conversations. But I've always thought of it as a very good vintage for white. I will have to have a little look. I think I have a horrible feeling that I remember there was one vintage, and I think it was 12, when Dominique said, look, we've made so little wine. I'm not going to let you have any. He normally would give me a little bit of an allocation, so I'm just going to check in my cellar and see if I've got, but I have a horrible feeling that I don't have any of that vintage.
Can I ask a question? And I don't want to put foot in it, but in terms of these wines, I love the nose, I love the palate. Yeah. They don't have weight. I expected more weight. Is that a question of age or just a question of they're Mersos?
I think that is the style of the vintage. What it's got is purity, I find, but not so much power and weight. No.
There is a freshness and also an honesty about these wines, which is lovely. And you get that, but you're right. I mean, for me, I'm not getting that weight or that power, and that's a good thing.
Yes, we're also talking about producers who have moved away from the old style, consciously moved away from the old style Merceau, when you're looking for round weight, body, and the rest of it. So Rouleau in particular, I mean, chiseled is the word, dances in that direction to Lafon, definitely. In the sort of second half of his winemaking career. Henri Germain, a little bit in between the two, but definitely wanting it to be fresh as everybody.
And also less reduction as well, isn't there?
There's what?
There's less reduction in the winemaking.
At that point, in fact, 2012 for Rouleau was a vintage which went through a very, very reductive phase. He said it caught him out because it only really happened in the second winter. It was about that time that he moved from doing a second winter in barrel and started doing it in tank, but keeping the wine on the lees. And if you keep your wine on the lees for extra time, but it's in tank, then there is no oxygen exchange. And that's where you get the reductive winemaking.
Now, I was talking, that was my comment on all the wines rather than Rouleau's wine. I was talking about, in terms of all the Mersos that we had so far, I don't know, maybe I came here with a view that there will be more
reduction. Expecting to have more reduction. No, I think 17 and 14, people are beginning to move away from it. What's quite interesting is normally when you get a technique, in inverted commas, that arrives in Burgundy, people start to... take it too far, and then the market revolts against it. But in the case of reduction, whether it's Rouleau or Pierre-Yves Colin Moret or indeed Costurie, I think the growers themselves decided to take it too far before the market turned against it, and they began to back off. But 2012, I would have expected to have been very much in the middle of it. But the wines do, with extra time, they do start to lose that reductive character. It doesn't stay with them forever in their lives. So maybe the fact that it's 10 years old now has sorted that.
Are you seeing for Mersault, or are you seeing almost a change going back to more chiseled, more purity, more minerality, if you want to call it that way, rather than having more fat, more power? So allowing the grapes and the soil to speak more for itself?
Yes, but that's been the trend that's been in place since... for about 15 years now. And if anything, you're going to start seeing people going back the other way. because everybody is in this fresher style. Yes, and some people think that both Rulo and Arno Aunt have gone too far and they pick too early and they make the wines too fresh. I find both those producers, I love their wines. I think they age really well. But I do often hear, particularly from other producers in Merceau, that they think it's been exaggerated. Fortunately, in Burgundy, it's never the case that everybody heads in the same direction at the same time. So you've always got point and counterpoint. And if one person isn't quite to your taste, then you can find somebody else.
Can I ask a question? Which is, and I mean, when you're looking at this stuff and you're talking about pendulum, they're going for one side and they're swinging to the other side. So who's coming out of the producer you're tasting? Who's coming out with a different voice, a different expression for Merceau?
Well, for Merceau, the sort of people I have in mind would be somebody like Lemmy Kayar and Chassin Morachet. But perhaps Romeric Chevy Chouet, the main Chevy Chouet, he certainly doesn't want to be too much in the very sort of ultra fresh modern camp. You get plenty of weight in Xavier Monod's wines. Jobard's always had good weight in the wines, but nonetheless, Antoine Jobard is making a fresher style of wine than his father Francois used to. Let me see if any other names come to me during the tasting, then I will add those in to the list of people who are making rather more full-bodied Merceaus. But it's a bit difficult now compared to what would have happened, let's say, in the 80s, insofar as that if you leave your grapes to hang on the vine until they're golden, which would have been the case. Nowadays, they're picked more of a greeny gold or colour. But if you wait till they're fully golden, they're going to get way too high in alcohol, in sugar levels, and therefore alcohol. So because of global warming, I think you do have to pick them at a slightly less ripe phenolic stage, perhaps. Jacques Prieur in Merceau is a domain that likes to pick a little bit later, and so you'll probably tend to get fuller-bodied wines there. And I'm sure I'll think of some more before we're finished.
You have a big issue with global warming and picking earlier and stuff, less phenolic and things, and that's a big issue.
Well, so phenolic's a funny word because I think people use it in different senses. And it's often used pejoratively, meaning you've got something that's a little bit too sort of green and leafy coming into the flavors. And there are some people who don't like that. There's a school of thought now in white Burgundy making, which wants the wines to taste really pure and clean from the start. I'm not completely convinced by that because I know how great white Burgundy can be if you leave it for a long time. And Michael, certainly, possibly some others of you were at the Tour d'Argent in 2018. And one of the wines we picked off the list was the Le Fleuve Village Pinot Noir Morachet 1979. At 100 euros a bottle on a Michelin star wine list with a wine at nearly 40 years of age. And it was an absolute stunner, but it might well have been a little bit ugly first up. And nowadays people feel that they want to make wines which are attractive to drink first up. So they are less phenolic, but one of the characteristics of the phenols is that is also where the preservative characters of the wine lie. So that's why the whites are aging more quickly, being ready earlier, which for many people is a good thing, and aging more quickly, which for me, at least, is a bad thing. And I suspect for you as well. Still plenty more discussion to go ahead with how white Burgundies are made. Any further comments you'd like to send my way about the quartet of 2012s, or the trio, as one was... I didn't make it. Is that a vintage that you will now look out for more, or you won't look out for more?
The one of five.
I have to say, yes, for having tasted it, the 12s I've got, I'm going to start bringing them out.
Yeah.
Because I think I think, especially on the village and Premier level, Premier level, I'm going to start bringing them out because I kept them. I think this is, I'm going to actually bring them out because I think they're going to be, I'm not sure they're going to improve overly much.
No, and I think that's probably fair. I think that's fair. I think there'd be a good place to start looking at them. Yeah. And I just checked. I did. I actually have very few White Burgundy 2012s, partly because I didn't get any from the fall. Unfortunately, it was 12 and not 14. I haven't started any of my 14s yet, so I'm a little bit shorter than I'd like to be of the 2012 White Vintage. So. Where should we go from there? Let's. Would you like a little bit more time then with that flight, or are you ready to move to the next flight?
I think so. Right.
Yeah, this will be.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So 2002, I'm expecting quite a lot of variability by now. It was a definite Premox style vintage. I'm hoping that they have all come through. Oh dear, my holding of 2012 White Burgundies is distressingly slim. Right. So the 2002s we have got lined up are Moret Blanc. That means it's Pierre Moret, but he's négociant side. And not called Blanc because they're all in white wines, but Moret Blanc because his wife's name, her family name was Blanc. So they used that for their négociant business. And he obviously has Perrier himself, but the Genévrier was purchased grapes or juice. Alongside La France Massé Genévrier 02, so we're hoping that's in better shape than the Corks 12. Compare the Genévrier with the Perrier in 02, and we really like the Genévrier. I think one of my last trip in Hong Kong before COVID lockdowns, I think we finished on the last day with the Lafond Meursault tasting featuring lots of Genévrier. And then Henri Germain continues to be part of the team. So we'll get those poured round and I'll leave you a minute or two to enjoy. 2002. As a red and a white wine vintage at the time, without thinking it was truly great in either, it was just good. It was mixed, not bad, but mixed through the summer. Until early September, it was definitely hanging by a thread, whether it was going to be a good year or not. And then fortunately, the wind patterns changed. There was less rainfall in September, a cool north wind, which dried the vineyards out. And finished the ripening, but without giving generous sugar levels, completed the growing season. And I was pretty comfortable with the vintage in both colours. It was quite a big crop in white, but nicely ripened. And in red, it was a normal size crop and only just ripe, but very pretty wines, which I think are in a good place now. The whites should be either at their best now, or some of them may be looking a little bit tired. So they weren't opened a lot in advance. For this tasting, I suggested to Sebastian just to open them up just before whatever time he needed to have them ready before the tasting started. Of this four, the marketplace is going to put the Lafond Perrier in the first position. The others probably reasonably similar. Maybe Massé Genévrier from Lafond just about second. But you're not really going to see wines of this age much around in the market, I wouldn't have thought. We've actually done well to get three different vintages of Henri Germain's Perrier because it's a very small holding for him. He only has 0.16 of a hectare. So that's just under four ouvres. So, he might make two, three, four barrels a year from a small crop through to a very generous one. Lafond's got nearly a hectare of Perrier, 0.91, and half a hectare, 0.55, of the Genévrier. And Moret Blanc, of course, we don't know because it was purchased grapes. And I don't know who he would have got them from. So, of course, at this time, nobody's using DM. They haven't yet started the move towards the much more chiseled style of winemaking.
Jasper, sadly, the Noir Blanc Mercer Genévrier 02 is more than advanced. It's totally oxidized.
Oh, well.
The Lafon Genévrier 02 is wonderful.
Great.
Wonderful.
I have some of his O2s. I occasionally looked recently at the Clos de la Barre, and that's beginning to show full maturity. Let's see what else I've still got to try. I still can't fully get my head around the fact that white Burgundy doesn't last as long as it used to, and so I do tend to tend to leave them around. I don't have a lot of 2002 left. One or two things, but not a lot.
And we're just getting the Perrier served now, Jasper.
Yeah.
I think the Lafon Perrier is a little bit more advanced than the Lafon Genévrier. The Lafon Genévrier is just so beautiful.
So in this period of the early and more dramatic Premox, I found Perrier to be the vineyard in Meursault that was much the most affected. There's something about the extra richness in Perrier that caused it to topple over more easily than the refined Genévrier. So it doesn't surprise me that the Perrier is seems a little bit more advanced. It should have more weight, more body, but it doesn't surprise me that it's tasting a little bit more advanced.
But the Germain 02 Perrier is stunning.
Great. Good.
Absolutely stunning.
Good. So, well, you should spend a little longer on them, but it looks as though you've got two winners, one that's a bit further behind, and then a failure. So it'll be interesting to see if any of the wines develop quickly in the glass, or whether they maintain, or even become slightly fresher, in fact. Obviously, the Moray Blanc.
The further along. I think the Lafon, so Lafon Perrier is further along. The Genévrier is very fresh, and good. The Germain too is spectacular.
Great. Well, that's wonderful. I'm very, really pleased for them. Nice people who make good wine, and I was disappointed with the 2017, as you reported it. So they improved their performance of the 2012, and they burst through with the 2002. That's great. So, and then the Genévrier should be all about precision and elegance and a lot of detail. The Lafon Genévrier, and then, as you say, a bit more weight and a bit more advanced from the Perrier 02. I need to leave you in just a few minutes. So before I do, while you enjoy those, and don't hurry them, because I think they should express more in the glass, but I'll just mention what to expect from the four reds. Bataille Marseille Ancestral, which is his top cuvée of red, it gets at least 24 months in barrel. He's developed a technique which is pretty much unique, is that he likes to vinify as much as he can with whole clusters, but he does slightly crush the grapes to avoid having too much of a carbonic expression. So the whole bunches get crushed, but very, very gently, so that he's not actually crushing the stems at all. And minimal sulfur, long aging, and that's a wine which normally ages incredibly well. After that, we have Comte Armand Pommard Clos des Epneaux 2010. I think it's the best vintage that Ben made. He started in 1999 and finished in 2013. And personally, every bottle I've had of that 2010 has been absolutely stellar. So I think that will be gorgeous. Pousse-d'Or, this was in the after the time of Gérard Patel, so Patrick Londonger, sort of the home vineyard, Clos de la Pousse-d'Or, 2002, so brings us back a parallel with the whites. Should be in a very good place to drink now. I think Bolognese were good in 2002. This is very timely. If you like the 1985 Pommard Rougien from Old Man de Monti, this would have been Hubert de Monti rather than Etienne making the wines at that period. You made legendary 83s, but they're probably fully ready now and probably should be drunk up. But the only 85s I've ever had of his have been very good. And as it happens, there's a case coming up at auction on March the 16th of exactly that wine. It's one of those auctions you can bid for so far, and nobody's bid for it. So as of an hour ago. And so if you really like it, there are some other wines from the 80s from De Monti. And I think that was a very good period for the Domaine. So I'm going to leave you to enjoy those. But before I go, if you have any other thoughts about the current flight or whether there are any more questions you want to ask about Meursault and White Burgundy before I leave you. All good?
No one's asking you questions. I've got loads of questions. Can I say, in terms of the Mercer, who are your favourite producers, and which are the you'll answer the up and coming ones, right? But who's your favourite producers?
Ouch, that's not by no means the easiest of questions. Okay. So you've got a front line which is recognized internationally, and I like all of those. So Custery, Rouleau, Ant, Affont would probably be the big, in no particular order, would probably be the top four domaines. But other people who I think are very good indeed would be Balomio, sensibly Bernard Bonnard, who've become very quickly cult and so not so sensibly priced. I'm just running down an alphabetic list. Of course, you've got Henri Boyeau, who's both colors, but some sensational Meursaults. I like Michel Bouzereau, very sensibly priced. And he has some great vineyards, Perrier, Charm. So they're good. Heading on down other favorites. I think Chevy Chouet is well worth having a look at. I tasted the wines when his father was making them, and he was a bit erratic. But I think the son Romeric is really interesting. I've always been fond of Jean-Philippe Fichet and a more chiseled.
Wait, I think we get questions.
What's that?
Yeah. Last question, because no one's asking it. I'm just curious, if you were drinking a Meursault, right?
Yeah.
If you only had one Meursault to drink, what would it be? What vintage, what Meursault?
Right. Well, it's going to be one of two. It's either going to be Meursault Genévrier from Lafont.
Okay.
And I've celebrated many rites of passage, including proposing to my wife with the 1981 vintage of that wine. But that would be pretty old now, so no specific. Maybe either. We had the 2010 very recently, Monday of last week, and that's in a glorious position. So I'll go with that as one choice. The other would be the Cerf Duclos bottling from Arnaud Ant. So, however, if I happen to have access to Michael's cellar, it would obviously have to be one of his many bottlings are from Mr. Custery, but I'm going to go with Lafont and Arnaud Ant because they're two people who I know very well and enormously appreciate. So, giving you a double answer.
Thank you. That's a great answer.
I didn't finish the list of all the good people in Meursault, but there are many more. There are so many good ones. And I will leave you to enjoy the rest of the meal. It's been great seeing you on screen. And in just a month, just over a month now.
Less a month.
Maybe less in that month. Very same room. So,
just before you go, quick question.
Instead of naming the producers, obviously we tried like the Premier Cruz tonight so far. So, in terms of your personal opinion, regardless of the producer, in Meursault, the sort of top villages, top three villages that you think.
The top three village wines. My favorite vineyards are Narvo, Tesson, and Chevalier. If that was your question.
I see. That's good. I've tried Chevalier too many times. That's a good answer. Tesson. Thank
you. Okay. Terrific. Great to see you. And I will see you in a month in Hong Kong. Bye.